Yeah, we're going to gavel. We are gaveling. We're going to go ahead and bring the committee back to order. They haven't all abandoned the process. There's other committees, and we're running a little bit behind today, so there's two other committees in full swing, so some of the senators will be moving in and out depending on what's on the table in Judiciary and the Hess Committee. But with that, we'll go ahead and bring up the Governor's Office. And they have, I think, just one request in the capital budget.
Correct.
And I'm very glad that the Governor didn't make that as a rule for all departments.
Sorry.
Although I think she's leading the way in the direction she wants to go. So go ahead.
Gail Finumiai from the Governor's Office. We just have one project before you today. It's polling place. It's reference number 38524 for polling place accessibility improvements under the Federal Help America Vote Act. It is a $100,000 award from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for the Division of Elections to improve polling places throughout the state.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we'll bring forward the Office of Labor, or the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And I see two items.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. The Department of Labor, Guy Bell, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We have two projects in the capital budget. The first is for the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, and it's a combination of a federal grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration and the required state match for a total of $1,079,000 to extend our distance training capacity by adding 6 to 7 distance training centers in rural Alaska. This will fund the equipment and the staff training for those centers for to expand our distance training capacity. Okay. The centers that we're looking at expanding this equipment into are in St. Mary's, Bethel, Galena, Fort Yukon, Dillingham, King Salmon, and Sitka.
And then the second item?
Mr. Chairman, our second project is in the amount of $2 million in general fund, and it would continue the highly successful Construction Academy in Anchorage and expand that program to Fairbanks. Through this Construction Academy, we're training both youth and adults in construction trades. This is done through a partnership between the Department of Labor, the Anchorage School District, Fairbanks School District, the Anchorage Home Builders, Fairbanks Home Builders, and a number of other entities that are interested in seeing both youth in high school and young adults get into the construction trades, and that gives a direct connection from the educational program, for instance, at the King Career Center in Anchorage, to construction jobs. And so this is continuing a program that was started this fiscal year.
Okay. Do we have any questions for the Department of Labor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. And then we're going to take a brief at ease while we set up for an overhead, but please don't run out of the room too fast. It'll just take a minute. You can go ahead and introduce yourself and who you represent, and go ahead and present your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Janet Clark, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Health and Social Services.
Arnold Liebelt with the Finance Management Services, Department of Health and Social Services.
Mr. Chairman, we thought to try to expedite our list of 16 projects. We've got a PowerPoint presentation we'll try to go through quickly. We think there's additional detailed information available in the regular backup, but I think we've captured the highlights for the committee. So our first project is reference number 41501. This is a request for $12,040,900 for the Medicaid Management Information System completion. This project has a 90% federal match. Our current system is 20 years old, and we've been working to replace our MMIS system for a number of years. We've reached a very good point in the development process. Our federal partners have agreed to the 90% share for this project. We had bids received on March 12, 2007, and we intend to notice of intent to award on mid-May 2007. Our second project, Mr. Chairman, is $900,000, made up of $515,000 general funds, $235,000 general fund match, and $150,000 federal funds. This is our regular annual deferred maintenance request for renovation and repair for all of our projects, not including the Pioneer Homes. We provided an example of a project that we need to work on in the Bethel Youth Facility area. This is a recreation area that needs extensive repair. We have 109 identified deferred maintenance projects that are listed in your backup. They are prioritized. This $900,000 does not meet the need. We've generated a list of $6.4 million. Our third project, Mr. Chairman, is our reference number amendment 37934. This is the Pioneer Homes deferred maintenance. There are six Pioneer Homes throughout the state. We have a number of issues with the Pioneer Homes, particularly some of the older ones. Again, we go through a process of rating all of our deferred maintenance projects, and we've brought a couple pictures to you of some of the work we intend to do if this money is appropriated. Our priority number two is to do some bathroom safety bar modifications in our Anchorage Pioneer Home. And the second picture just represents a project we have, again, in the Anchorage Pioneer Home, where they have some skylights that are leaking, and we need to reseal those skylights. So again, we have a long list of projects for the Pioneer Homes renovation and repair, and that's in the detail if you'd like to go through that. The next project is safety and support equipment for probation officers, social workers, and Pioneer Home residents and staff. This is reference number amendment 32446 for $740,800, made up of the fund sources it's outlined in your handout. Again, this is equipment for our frontline workers or clients. This does not go to those individuals who do not serve clients. We primarily are going to use this in the Pioneer Homes to replace furnishings and window coverings. As you know, in the Pioneer Homes, there's a lot of wheelchairs. These homes are used 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's quite a bit of damage that's caused by the hard use in those facilities. In our juvenile justice facilities, we continue to seek requests for improved security, radio replacements, security fencing. And then in our public assistance offices, these are our offices that serve the public. We have a number of eligibility technicians that we need to look for ergonomic workstations and replacement. The next project, Mr. Chairman, is the Eligibility Information Systems Maintenance Project. This is Amendment 42856 for $412,800. Again, this is a split funding project where we receive some federal funds for this project. Currently, our eligibility information system is 20 years old as well. It does the eligibility determination for a number of systems. And with any old system, there are a tremendous number of backlog of work orders. In fact, we've counted 300. So where we would use this money is to really focus on the projects that we've outlined on the slide. We have a requirement to comply with vendor electronic payments and 1099 reporting. There are some reports that we actually have to do manual counts. The system doesn't add different eligibility determinations together. We also have notices that go out to clients for different eligibility purposes, and right now there's duplicate notices going out. We'd like to eliminate that. We also have an issue with our food stamp recertification. in just flagging when that recertification happens. We also have some manual input for adult public assistance, and we want to simplify some of our case cross-referencing with the clients who get multiple benefits. So this is for the old system, and these are improvements to the old system. The next project, Mr. Chairman, is to evaluate this eligibility information system and to make recommendations on what we should do. This system was established in 1984. We're requesting $662,400 for that. The eligibility information system determines eligibility and benefits and information support for over 15 programs. In the operating budget, these programs total $1.4 billion per year. So obviously, eligibility determination is a key component of making sure that we have good system controls on that eligibility determination. So the first phase of the project includes a gap assessment, requirements analysis. The second phase will look at project alternatives to see what we can do with this 23-year-old system, I guess, Mr. Chairman. The next project is improvements to the Automated Child Welfare Information System, commonly known as ORCA. This is reference number 6816. The request is $1.5 million with $750,000 general fund match, $750,000 federal dollars. As with any system, particularly one that has a federal component, there are increasing mandatory improvements that are required either by the feds or by other areas of improvements that we'd like to make in our child welfare system. The six areas that we'd like to contract for improvements are to meet federal requirements for independent living, interstate compact for children, this has to do with adoptions, federal disaster recovery requirements, there's new requirements on disaster recovery we need to comply with, and implementation of our new safety assessments, as well as continued reporting, development, data analysis and cleanup, and the other items listed on the slide. The next project, Mr. Chairman, is the largest general fund project we have in the budget. And I should mention, Mr. Chairman, we're now moving into the mental health part of the capital budget. We try to do this in one at one time in front of the legislature. This project is a project request for the South Central Foundation at Klutna Residential Psychiatric Treatment Center, match $7 million GFMH. This is a project that would provide the state share for this $21 million project, which is a cornerstone to our effort to reduce Medicaid and to bring continue to bring the kids home from out-of-state treatment. This project will be matched by Denali Commission funds as well as South Central Foundation. So this has three different entities providing resources for this project.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are these match funds already secured and dedicated from the Denali Commission and South Central Foundation?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, my understanding is yes, they are.
Can we get confirmation of that?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'd enjoy a larger map that shows where that is physically.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson will be happy to provide you that. There is quite a bit of information on this. The Mental Health Trust Authority has been working on this as well. As you can see, this is a pretty large, this is a 50-bed facility in that area, so this is a fairly large one for Alaska.
Maybe the department can bring back to the committee the requested items by Senator Dyson, some plats and other related information, along with a little more depth on the financing and the viability of it. So we have a little more information and we'll just pass it around.
Mr. Chairman, I might add that each entity that goes through the Denali Commission process is required to do a business plan related to this. So we will certainly work to provide that information for the committee.
Senator Huggins. And then Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other part in looking, it may have been what Senator Dyson was getting at, is I understand there's a proposal for gambling facilities on Klutna. might be smart of us to look, see where that is.
Quite a ways away, but.
Absolutely. We'll provide that information to the committee.
Senator Hoffman, then Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That business plan, does that include operational dollars as well?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that is a cornerstone for requiring an operation plan, yes.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dyson.
I think my question will come up a little later. Thank you. I'm jumping the gun here.
Okay. Please continue.
All right. Mr. Chairman, then the next project is an annual request for emergency medical services for the Code Blue project. This has been an ongoing effort for a number of years. This is reference number 42837, $425,000 GF match. These funds are used by local communities to match federal dollars from the USDA, Rasmussen Foundation, Denali Commission. The USDA's Rural Development Office has a community grant program that can fund up to 75% of the cost. This is a state share of 25%. We've provided a couple of examples of some of the vehicles that have been purchased using this program in the past. And Mr. Chairman, I might add, we have a lot of information about Code Blue, any of the projects that have been requested from all the regional entities, if the committee's interested. There is just a lot of information about this very worthy project.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't jumping the gun earlier. Can we go back to briefly to the 32446? I was confused on page numbers here. And I'm looking at the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when we went down through the list of equipment is being purchased here, the $300 chairs and $200 a piece keyboards and $1,700 workstations really kind of jumped out here as being far more expensive than I bet you anybody in your office has got, and certainly in mine. And I got to ask the question, why? Why do we have to have $200 keyboards?
Let's catch up here. I think are you referencing page 15 or?
15, 16, 17.
Okay, thank you. Just so everybody's.
This.
But five in here, right?
Yeah, it's on page 5 in the handout that view graphs here. Mm-hmm.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, what I think you're referring to are some of the ergonomic workstations that the public assistance staff, and as an employer, if we have someone who has a condition based on them sitting at a chair that doesn't fit them correctly, or an old desk with an inappropriate computer or something, we do have an obligation as an employer to look at an ergonomic solution for that individual. And so what has occurred in the Division of Public Assistance, you have a lot of eligibility technicians who spend a lot of time interviewing people. They're working at a computer, they're in front of a computer all day long. And so we have a responsibility to make sure those eligibility workers and technicians are, you know, have the best ergonomic situation so that the state doesn't have a workers' compensation claim later on or some other thing that's going to cost us more. So what you're seeing is from many of the regions in the state in public assistance, probably more detail than you wanted to see about what they intend to purchase, but they're being very upfront about what they're doing.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, well, that's just really problematic luxury. I mean, I don't want us to have to face the lawsuits either, but it's just hard for me to believe that they got to have $200 keyboards and $300 chairs.
Again, through the chair, Senator Dyson, we'll provide Senator Dyson more information, you know, about the situation that individuals find themselves in and the cost to that to our workers' compensation rates or other situations that we find ourselves in. As an employer, I think we can justify these requests based on that.
Well, I think the concern
I think it'd be cheaper to shoot a few lawyers, but thank you.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, it can be justified. There's always a concern of what the item is. It's easy to justify stuff in the budget. If you could bring back some, a little bit more information on some of these items so individual committee members could maybe bring their comfort level up.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely, we will do that.
Senator Hoffman, did you have a question?
No. Okay.
I just have a hard time seeing with this machine in here, and I gotta go. You will continue.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think we're up to reference number amendment 42840. Am I right? Pioneer Home flooring replacement. This is for $471,400. When you visit some of the Pioneer Homes, some of them have a lot of wear on their flooring. In particular, we have situations in Anchorage, Juneau, Ketchikan, Palmer, and Sitka, all of the homes, where the flooring is worn and stained, particularly microbial. We need to make sure that they're antimicrobial surfaces. In other words, make sure they're clean and that things don't get underneath the flooring, as the picture from the Ketchikan Pioneer Home shows you, as well as just the surfaces are uneven, and with the average age of the Pioneers 85 years old, you know that many of them have walkers, they have difficulty walking, and when you have these kind of safety situations, we have a responsibility to make sure we have good flooring situations in our Pioneer homes.
Senator Olson.
Ms. Clark, when was the last time these floors were changed?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't know specifically in each home, but we can get you that information.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please continue.
The next request is amendment 42839. This is a request for Pioneer Home Storage Facilities Construction for $648,000 in general fund. One of the situations we found ourselves, Mr. Chairman, is that in particularly the Anchorage, Palmer, and Fairbanks Pioneer Homes, we have a lack of storage for cleaning, activity, physical therapy supplies, furnishing, disaster preparedness supplies. And these items are currently stored in resident rooms that we then can't use. So what we're requesting of the legislature is that we use these funds to procure separate storage areas where we can take some of these critical but not often used items, or you know, not needed on a daily basis necessarily, and really kind of save money in storing supplies in a facility that doesn't have to be, you know, heated at 72 degrees every day. We think that this is a cost-effective way of looking at storage, and yet it can be close to the facility.
Mr. Chairman.
The next project.
Yes. Senator Hoffman.
And the site or the locations have been already identified at these locations?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I think in most cases, yes, but we'll have to get that detailed information back to you. The plan is to put them fairly close to the current facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I could, is it Anchorage, Palmer, and Fairbanks? An existing garage in Fairbanks, or that's just where the funds will?
Mr. Chairman, those are the homes that we know we have space and storage issues right now.
Okay, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What kind of square footage are you talking about when you build a $175,000 to $235,000 storage facility? Just out of curiosity.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, Arnold. I don't know if you have an idea.
We would be working with the homes to determine the square footage that they would need. It would vary from home to home and where, how much land that we're going to have next to the home for constructing it. I really couldn't say at this point.
The estimate that we have is 1,500 square foot storage building.
1,500 square foot?
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of money for cold storage, but anyhow, if you could get me any other information on that, I'd appreciate seeing some kind of anticipated concept of it or something like that, what it's intended to be. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And if you could add to that the cost analysis.
Yes. The next project, Mr. Chairman, is again in the mental health capital bill. This is a project that you've seen last year and funded. This is reference number 38923. This is mental health cost share for Bring the Kids Home. So in addition to the Eklutna project, we're requesting $1 million in general funds to match Denali Commission funding to provide other residential psychiatric treatment centers in other parts of the state. We've used this money in the past. I mean, this is an old photograph of the Juno Youth Services search facility, but we've used this money in the past to help match the Denali Commission funds to build facilities like this one, which are really critical in bringing the kids back to Alaska from out of state. So again, we've shown the funded projects, the pending projects, and this is a important cornerstone in making sure we have the facilities in Alaska as we bring these kids back. The next project, Mr. Chairman, is reference number 37901. This has been in the budget for a number of years. It's a mental health treatment and recovery-based special needs housing. This program provides through capital grants for agencies to develop transitional housing units, such as Oxford Houses in Anchorage and Bethel. We'll provide funding through a competitive process to nonprofit agencies to develop transitional housing, which can help bridge the gap in the continuum of care for those who need those services. The next project, again, has been in the budget for a number of years. It's 33671. It's mental health home modification upgrades to retain housing. This is $250,000 of Mental Health Trust Authority receipts. And what we use this program for, Mr. Chairman, is we grant these to a few agencies throughout the state, and then they, in turn, through a competitive process, provide up to $12,000 per home for improvements that would directly improve the quality of life for trust beneficiaries and those with individuals with disabilities. Access ramps, bathroom accessibilities, we've provided some pictures here that shows you how this is used, and this really helps keep people in their own homes longer, which we all know is a less costly alternative. The next project is number 33670. This is mental health deferred maintenance and Americans with Disabilities Act improvements to grants to service providers for trust beneficiaries. This is a $2 million general fund mental health request. And again, it's a competitive grant program for those agencies that serve mental health trust beneficiaries. You can see the kinds of projects that we've done in a number of community providers and grantees throughout the state. Roof repair, boiler replacement, accessibility improvements, renovation, fire suppression, and security systems. Again, this is a competitive grant for all trust beneficiaries. And then, Mr. Chairman, the last project is Project 33672. For mental health essential program equipment. This is $350,000 of Mental Health Trust Authority receipts from the Mental Health Trust Authority. And this is providing equipment for those same Mental Health Trust beneficiaries through grantee agencies. And we've provided a couple of examples of the kind of equipment. It's therapeutic equipment, medical equipment, security systems for homeless shelters, et cetera. I might add, Mr. Chairman, that I know Mr. Jeff Jesse, the executive director of the trust, has worked with us a lot on this capital budget request, and I'm sure he'll be available to the committee as well if you have questions related to their involvement.
He's online if we have questions for him. Do we have any more questions on the Department of Health and Social Services requests? So you'll try to get those back, the answers back to us in the next couple of days?
Yes, we will.
We're going to take a brief at ease and decommission the projector.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Go ahead and come back to order. The next presenter is the Department of Natural Resources. And if you can introduce yourself and who you represent and then walk through, again, we'll kind of see how it goes on the clock.
So. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nico Buss. I'm the Director of Support Service for the Department of Natural Resources. We have 34 projects. I'll try to walk through them as time allows, and if you have any questions, stop me, please. First project is project number 42062. It's the second phase of our statewide digital mapping initiative. This is a request for $4 million in federal funds and $2 million in general funds for a total of $6 million. It's a cooperative effort between the Department of Military Veterans Affairs, the University of Alaska, and the Department of Natural Resources to map the state of Alaska and hopefully work closely with the federal government to get both a digital elevation map and an orthoimagery map for the whole state. The current base map hasn't been updated for 40 years, and we are one of the few states in the nation that doesn't have a regular base map. And the the benefit of an updated base map is that both government, local government as well as state and federal government as well as industry can use this for a multitude of development projects, and it will speed up those projects. So this is the second phase, and we hope to make some good progress in this. So.
Senator Hoffman and Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many phases are there? And what parts of the state does phase two encompass?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, there's different estimates on how much it would take. We have currently anticipated three phases. We try to take advantage of all the existing information. The first phase will inventory all data that is currently available from different sources rather than buying new data. What we try to do is update licenses so that we can do it cheaper and can get more done for less money. So,
what areas of the state does phase two encompass?
Basically, this money is hopefully going to do the whole state. The total project initially was estimated about $30 million, but because we know money is tight, we're trying to do it. First of all, we prioritize the areas so that we can do the highest priority area first and then try to get as far as we can with the money that's available to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Senator Dyson.
Yeah. Thank you. So NOAA and USGS has digitized much of their maps, and they're available online for free to anybody to download them. How are citizens going to be able to get access to these maps when you're done?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, the idea is that this it would be public information that everybody can get to, and we would incorporate NOAA and USGS and any other publicly held data into one database that everybody can have access to.
Online for
online.
Free?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Dyson. Please continue.
The next project is project number 6865. It's an annual request for our National Historic Preservation Fund. It's a federal funded program. We basically receive the federal grants and then allocate it to different projects. It's for $1,050,000 in federal funds and $50,000 in general fund match. Any questions on that? If not, we'll move to the next.
Just one.
Go ahead, Senator Dyson.
Do I have to go to the Office of History and Archaeology to get a list of the projects that are ongoing and funding?
They have it, and I can ask.
Or I can ask for it.
Okay.
All right, yep. Thank you.
Maybe you could bring that back to the committee the answer to the question, and we'll distribute it to everybody.
We'll do that. Next project is project number 42887 for the South Denali State Park Planning and Design Phase 1. It's a federal funded request for $1 million that will focus on designing and planning for the South Denali Visitor Center. This has been in the work for quite some time. We hope to receive some federal funding and focus on the visitor center, access road, campground, trails, and all this type of information. So, next project is project number 37769. It's for federal and local government funded forest resource projects and fire program. It's an annual request. It's for $1,500,000 in federal funds plus $1,300,000 in statutory designated receipts, and the project funds specifically the ability for state and local government to educate, mitigate, prepare for, and respond to threats of wildland fire. In addition, we also include forest health initiative, insect and disease examination, internships, communication, urban forestry planning, and so on and so forth. These are annual projects that are awarded around the state. Next project is the finishing up of the Alaska Cadastral Project, and the project number is 37768. It's for $250,000. It's funding we already have in part from BLM, and it's finishing up the sharing of local and land parcel information between state, federal, and local government, as well as native corporations, so that people can see what the access rights, interest, and boundary information is on all real estate property. The next project is our remote recreational cabin survey and appraisal project, reference number 38480. It's funded with state land disposal income fund for $618,200. Basically, our staking program allows people to stake remote recreational cabin sites, and then the amount of money that the applicant pays, we pool and then hire surveyors and appraisers to go out and do the work in combination. And so this is money that we receive up front, and then it's an efficiency issue for those people that don't want to have a remote recreational cabin. No state money, it's applicant money. Next project is our annual abandoned mine land reclamation federal program, reference number 6855. It's for $3.5 million, $525,000.
Please repeat that number, the last three digits.
$3,525,000.
The code number you're on.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. 6855.
6855.
Did you skip 38480?
Oh, sorry about that.
No, that was the survey, the cabins and stuff.
I'm having trouble finding that one.
Oh, there's no. Then you skipped the $1 million one, I think. 388886.
There's the remote cabins.
Are we on track? 6855.
Yeah, I've got 6855 here.
Okay. 6855 is a federal funded program that provides money to deal with reclamation and hazardous mining conditions. It's funds that comes from taxation federally, and we have a project in the Wishbone Hill where the federal government pays for restoration of the land and dealing with hazardous conditions. So. It's an annual appropriation, and each year a project is chosen based on its importance and whether or not we are dealing with hazardous situations. The next project is project number 37762. It's the Cooperative Water Resource Program. It's statutory designated receipts, which is for a request of $545,000. It allows the department to collect money from industry or local government to go towards projects that the federal government then will match. The federal government cannot collect any matching funds. They ask us to do it for them. And then when the industry or the local government has a project, be given it to the federal government and they match it dollar for dollar. So we are just basically the go-between on this. The next project is the Project Alaska Coastal Management Federal Pass-Through Grant, reference number 40082. It's for federal receipts of $1,360,000. It's for grants that we pass through the Office of Project Management Permitting for the Alaska Coastal Management Program, and they go to either local governments or districts that apply for these grants, and there's specific criteria for that, and this is an annual process.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Can I receive who the grantees were last year?
Well, we can get that to you, and I'll make it available to the whole committee. The next project is kind of similar. It's project reference number 41648. It's the Coastal Impact Assistance Federal Program. It's federal funding for $3 million, and it's dispersed through the Department of Interior under the Energy Policy Act, and 35% of these funds will be paid to coastal districts, and then the remaining 65% will be allocated as identified in approved plans. And so we can also provide you a listing of how that is distributed. Okay. The next project is reference number 42019. It's for the Potter's Marsh Boardwalk Improvement Phase 3. Basically, we received funding from ConocoPhillips to extend and refurbish the boardwalk by Potter's Marsh, and this is all industry money that we are passing through and contract out to refurbish the Potter's Marsh project. Next project is the Alaska Boating Safety Program. It's reference number 32553. It's for federal funding for $1 million and also for vehicle registration receipts, $200,000 for a program, a total of $1.2 million. This program is a very successful program that deals with boating safety education and training. It focuses on children and high-risk group, trains, certifies, and supports boating safety instructors, and it's aiming at reducing fatalities and basically general education to reduce the number of incidents both in the rural area as well as the urban areas.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there criteria for administering this program, identifying areas that have high rates of drowning?
We do identify that, and then we aim those areas and work with either the local government or interested groups and provide grants. In our request detail, we have listed all the different parties that we work with.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Please continue.
The next project is reference number 32552. It's for our Land and Water Conservation Fund. It's $1,250,000 in federal receipts. Those are for park projects in different areas. It's a 50% matching requirement. The feds pay 50%, and then the local governments who are interested parties apply for it and have to match it 50%. It's a very successful program and has been existing for many years. So, next project is reference number 6854. It's a National Recreational Trail Federal Program. It's for $850,000, and it also is a program where Alaskans apply for construction of trails, either recreation, subsistence, or travel. These trails need to be maintained, and this is an 80% matching program. And in the detail, we provide who has received the grants the last year. So, there's a review board, and all the applicants are applying, and then the awards are listed in our detail. The same is true on our next project on the Snow Machine Trail Development Program, reference number 36690. This is paid for by registration fees for the snow machines. It's $200,000 that then goes back into grooming or development of snow machines trails. And this again is very popular. A lot of people apply, and grant awards are listed in our detail. The next project is our Federal Legacy Federal Grant Program. It's only for $50,000 federal funds. This year, we do not anticipate buying anything new. The $50,000 is just to pay for the administration of prior and existing grants that are ongoing. So we hope to receive $1,100,000 next year, but in 08, there's no Federal Legacy new grants available, just administrative cost. The next project is our Coastal Wetlands Federal Grant, reference number 39042, for $1 million of federal funds. This is for one project. It's for the Efoknek Coastal Habitat Protection Project in the Portage Drainage Area B. This is a partnership with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the American Land Conservation Society. Idea is to protect highly valuable spawning and rearing habitat for a variety of salmon. There's brown bear, deer, and elk that are common in the area, and marine mammals routinely benefit from feeding, pupping, and calving habitat provided by this specific project. The next project is reference number 42893. It's to finish up our digital integration in the recorder's office. It's paid for by our user fees. It's for $400,000 to basically digitize all our record into one database, so we do not need to use different media in our library, and it helps our customers, our employees, and the general public. Next project is Mental Health Trust Land Development. It's reference number 6853. It's paid for by the Mental Health Trust receipt for $650,000. And this is basically for ongoing land development on those lands that the Mental Health Trust is responsible for. And they have this request each year and do different projects in various areas. And the Mental Health Trust board reviews and approves those. The next project is kind of the same thing. It's reference number 4474. It's for Mental Health Trust land facility for maintenance for those areas and properties that the Mental Health Trust owns. They budget $350,000 for a variety of things such as property management, snow removal, maintenance, and so on and so forth. Next project is reference number 42881. It's for our Petroleum Systems Integrity Office to enable them to do contracts. This is a direct response to our Prudhoe Bay pipeline corrosion and production shutdown incidents. And rather than build a large operating budget, the department is requesting a $500,000 general fund appropriation that will be set aside and will be used on a demand basis to hire experts and people that we as a department feel would help us in dealing with pipeline integrity issues. The next project is...
Senator Elton.
So, your... Nico, thanks. Back to 42881. So your plan is $500,000 every other year for this for this on-demand program?
Through Chair, Senator, we're not really sure what our needs are going to be, so rather than list requests for each year, we'll see how it goes in this coming year. This is a brand new program. And just to have the ability to hire some experts, we asked for $500,000. For budget purposes, we projected that it needed every other year, but hopefully we'll never need it.
Okay, and this may be just a rookie question, Mr. Chair. I mean, why is this capital instead of operating?
Senator Elton, the Assembly Chair, the operating budget has staff that will manage project, but sometimes we would have to hire an engineer or a just basically contract with an outside agency to get advice or whatever it might be. And so this money would allow us to do that. And rather than arbitrarily built up an operating budget that then would lapse, if you just felt, if you asked for it in capital, then if you don't use it, it stays there, and it will not inflate the operational budget increase.
And again, Mr. Chair, if this gets tiresome, you can maybe provide information back to me. I mean, how do you account for that within the department, and how would you account for the expenditure of those funds to the legislature? I mean, if it's capital, I'm assuming that you've got it. Is there any kind of a report back feature that the department has to the legislature on how these funds are spent once you get the dollars?
Our plan would be, you know, this would be obviously in response to an incident, and we would report back to the legislature what we are doing on the incident, and specifically what this money. That's how I envision, but okay. We can get back to you more specifically later.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Please continue.
The next project is project reference number 31371. It's for our oil and gas royalty settlement agreement reopeners. This is a very important item. It's for $500,000 in general fund. The department has the right to ask for reopeners of its lease agreements, and the companies have that right. We have the right, and just recently we exercised that right with Exxon Mobil. That dispute with Exxon Mobil resulted in well over $20-some million additional revenue to the state. These type of capital projects pay back 20 to 30 fold of their cost, and it's up to the director of oil and gas to call for a reopener. Conversely, the oil companies can do the same thing.
Senator Hoffman.
If it's returning 20 to 30 fold, we need to increase this appropriation.
Our oil and gas people always argue that they could use all the money they collect to expend it, but in this case, we just have this request. Next project is project number 38872. It's for phase four of our unified permitting process. This is to streamline our interaction with the general public and replace a legacy computer system. It's for $800,000 in general fund. We've made quite a bit of progress on this. We now have web-based applications, and we hope to shortly turn this on for a variety of segments. The first one would be our permits, and then there's a variety of other business processes such as leases, material sales, easements, and so on and so forth. We hope to be done in about by year 2010. So the next project is an annual request for state park emergency repairs. It's reference number 6843. It's for $400,000. We have the largest park system in the nation. We have over $50 million in deferred maintenance, and to deal with emergencies, this $400,000 is dealt with doing safe water and sewer systems, roads, trails, and shelters. So the next project is project reference number 41426 for $300,000 in general funds for BLM 2009, which is the Statehood Entitlement Act to assure that the federal government maintains public access. We have federal funding for the transfer of the federal land, but whenever there's a dispute with the federal government, they clearly don't want to pay for us to fight them. So this $300,000 deals with those issues that we feel are in the state's best interest and the federal government is not interested in paying for. And this happens pretty regular. So we feel it's important to do that, and it's $300,000 in general funds. The next project is a real popular project. It's project number 6852. It's our airborne geophysical and geological mineral inventory for $850,000 in general funds. We target this inventory at those areas that have a high mineral value. There's a review board that recommends which areas are to be inventoried, and then once the inventory is out, there's a very high follow-up by the mining companies in staking claims and actually working those. So
how many years is it estimated to have the state completely covered?
Oh, I think that's a good question. Bob Swenson is online. He might be able to answer, but I think it is quite a state is so large, and it will take quite a few more years.
Well, maybe Bob Swenson, are you online?
Yes, I am.
You could just make a real brief answer to that question. How many years is it expected to take to have the state photoed?
Actually, the program probably will not cover the entire state, but cover the areas that we've determined as having high minerals potential, which is about 40 million acres. To date, we've after 12 years, we've covered about 6 million acres. So with the current funding levels, it certainly will take over another 10 years to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Elton.
Thanks. A question for Mr. Swenson. Mr. Swenson, wouldn't it be more efficient to, instead of an annual appropriation, wouldn't it be more efficient to ask for something more than an annual appropriation so that, for example, contracting with flight operators or helicopter operators, that you can do that instead of doing it on a year-to-year basis, you can do it over a number of years and maybe save some money?
Through the chair, yes, that is certainly correct. In fact, we have worked with the legislature before on trying to get a five-year appropriations of that money so we can do long-term contracts and save the state money and increase our coverage on that.
Could you maybe provide to the committee, I was going to say for myself, but then the chair always says, let's do it for the whole committee. Could you give me some cost estimates on how much we might save if we don't do this on an annual basis?
I could certainly do that.
Thank you, Mr. Swenson.
Yeah, if you could bring that back to the committee and we'll disperse that around.
Certainly, I will do that.
Thank you. If you could please continue.
Next project is reference number 41417. It's for $250,000 in general funds to finish the interior Alaska timber inventory for the Tanana Valley. This is important for us to have successful timber sales and know exactly what we have in the forest. A lot of things change either due to forest fires or changing of land ownership, and this inventory accomplishes that, and then we going out to actually offer these timber sales and have a timber harvest. The next project is reference number 43300. It's for $500,000 in general funds, and this is for the Alaska Energy Inventory. This project envisions doing an inventory and compilation of all available Alaska energy resource data suitable for power generation and heating, including the variety of energy sources. It's in a couple different phases. Phase one would be covering a time frame of 2 years, fiscal year 08 and fiscal year 09, and that would convert all existing energy resource data into a searchable GIS format with quantitative attributes, and that would allow the various groups to find out what the options are in the various parts of the state. This is a cooperative effort between the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, with the Alaska Energy Authority, Division of Forestry, the Division of Oil and Gas, and other parties. And so it's pretty important to do this in light of the high energy costs and a lot of entities asking us what are the alternatives and how do you find it. And this project envisions putting that all into one database, making it available on a website, and everybody can have access to them. The next project is project number 41415 for $600,000 in general funds. It's for our gas pipeline corridor to do a geological hazard and resource analysis. This is the second phase. Last year was very popular and very useful. This one is again to go from Delta Junction to the Canadian border and have the information that was flown last year through airborne geophysical survey to incorporate it into geophysical data and then have high resolution mapping of this information available. So We're almost getting done, a couple more projects. Next project is project number 42878. It's for our Fairbanks office building to do repairs and upgrades for $300,000. We replaced the roof, and over the years, because the roof was in bad shape, we have a lot of problems in our boiler and electrical systems and air handling system that need to be remedied. It's for $300,000, and we hope to get started on that soon. The next project is project number 38878 for State Parks Deferred Maintenance for $1 million in general fund. It's for a kind of a small down payment against $50 million of deferred maintenance. In the detail, we list what we try to do. It's mostly for sanitation, toilet replacement, parking areas. Included in this is also a badly needed restore and rehabilitation of the totem by State Park, where we do a major restoration and fixing so we don't lose that valuable asset in that park. So
keep going, I'm watching the clock.
Okay, last ones are a group of three. They are State Parks maintenance project that are phases. We started there for three units. One is in Nancy Lake. Phase three is basically completing all the upgrades of the parking paths, the roads, and so on and so forth, $300,000. Same in Harding Lake, same in Johnson Lake, and the reference numbers are Nancy Lake is reference project number 4003, Harding Lake is project number 4004, and Johnson Lake is reference number 41421. And then lastly, we have our final project. It's reference number 42079. It's for our Juno subport abatement, phase two. It's a part of the Mental Health Trust. The subport here in Juno has an armory and a subport building. There's contamination. To fix that costs $725,000. State is obligated to do it as part of the mental health settlement. And as soon as this is done, then the subport will be torn down and all the contamination will be dealt with, and they can sell that property.
Have any questions? Thank you. Meeting adjourned.